What up, what up, what up? What's going on, everybody? Dom Lewis here with another episode of the Philly Sports 444 Podcast, episode 70. I will say this to start off. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. You know, last year, there was so much turmoil and so many people that were disgruntled and just so much toxicity within the organization to where we wanted everybody to go. Everybody could get the smoke, honestly. Dougie P, Carson Wentz, Howie Roseman, one of the laureates of the team. We didn't care. And some of us got what we wanted as far as Doug P getting fired or him mutually parting ways with the team, and then Carson Wentz leaving, and now Jalen Hurts is the starting QB. There's a new coach in town, brand new regime, new players, younger players, and some of us, and I'm probably the main culprit for this one, said that it was time for a rebuild. Like, not retooling, but full rebuild. I preached that for probably 2 years, and I got it, got my wish. And I'm just going to say, be careful what you wish for, because now it feels like, to a lot of people, not me and not like some other fans, but to a majority of the fans or a majority of what people talk about, it's not that the sky is falling, but it's worse than we expected. What I mean by that is people couldn't see, like, okay, I'll give you an example. And I'm not going all over the place, but just stick by me for a second. You know, people wanted Jim Schwartz to be fired for 3 years, and they got their wish. And now you got this new up and coming defensive coordinator now, and Jonathan Gannon, and you're like, okay, he's saying he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Wonderful, excellent. Like, this is what we wanted. I'm glad we finally got somebody here who understands us. And what did the Eagles do in the last 2 weeks? They give up 41.5 points a game, and they give up like 500 yards. They average that in the last two games. And we're here now. We are officially, if you didn't know before, we are in the rebuild. The rebuild, not the retool, the full rebuild of your Philadelphia Eagles. So I say all that to say, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. Dom Lewis here with the Philly Sports 444 Podcast. I thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, we are in a full rebuild, so be careful what you wish for. Eagles lost again on Sunday to the Kansas City Chiefs, 42-30. It really wasn't that close. I'll start out by saying, or giving you my five reasons why I believe the Eagles lost. If you haven't viewed my TikTok, It's already on TikTok, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook. I think I put it everywhere except Twitter, and I'll put it there tonight. But I like to come out with five reasons for a win or five reasons for a loss. And I came out with the five reasons for the loss earlier this week. The first reason the Eagles lost the game, too many penalties. It's just too many times the Eagles shoot themselves in the foot. And it's not even, I don't even think it's the penalties. The times when the penalties are committed is what kills me. It's what gets me. It's the times of the penalties for me, as people would say. You know, you're in a third down situation, you need to get the defense off the field. your defense commits a penalty, it's an automatic first down because it's a defensive infraction, and you give the opposition new life. Getting a 15-yarder for roughing the passer when you clearly had a sack or interception or a turnover. You just put yourselves in these bad situations by creating these stupid penalties. And you know what? Part of that is because the team is so young. I understand that. And I grant a certain level of mercy. And I have a level of understanding for being young. Because I said it on Sunday, this team is young and dumb. And sometimes, okay, it's cool to be young and dumb because you're learning, you're trying to find your way. I understand the concept of being young and dumb. But it's, when are you going to learn from your mistakes? And so far, they haven't. Even in the time the Shared Eagles won, they still committed a ton of penalties. This team isn't it's not that they're not a smart team, but they are a very undisciplined team. To me, that makes them dumb. And that's why I call them young and dumb. That is the first reason the Eagles lost this week. The second reason. What's my second reason? Oh, the defense couldn't stop anybody. I mean, like I said, you're giving up 42 points or 41 points a game, 41.5 points a game in the last two games. So I think Dallas had 41 or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You're giving up over 40 points a game over the last two games, getting gashed. And it's not even that you're just giving up the points. Like, Kansas City is a way better team than the Philadelphia Eagles. I understand that. Dallas Cowboys, as much as I hate to admit it, they are a better team than the Philadelphia Eagles. I understand that as well. But there comes a certain level of pride and expectation that you have. Not that you expect the team to win, but you expect the team to compete. And you know, here, like, we have had teams over the years where, you know, I know that the majority of the fan base wants our defenses to blitz. And I don't think that's really, I'm not going to say that's not the game anymore, but this is not the years of Jim Johnson, God rest his soul. This is not the the time period of Jim Johnson. I don't think defenses play necessarily like that anymore. And you have to understand, like, it's more coverage based. But, you know, all in all, Eagles defenses have been known for stopping the run. And we ain't going to do nothing else. We're going to stop the run. And they've gotten gashed over the last 2 weeks. You know, Kansas City doesn't even run the ball. I've heard this, you know, so many times. Kansas City doesn't run the ball. They ran for over 100 yards in the Eagles. I get it. Last week, you had to play Zeke and Tony Pollard. And I was one of the ones that called Zeke washed. I said he was washed. Slower. He's bigger. Bigger in the sense of, like, not like muscular. Bigger, like, fatter. And that could just be me hating, but, like, you know, I just felt like he lost a step a little bit. But, he, you know, he's warming up. He's having a better season. And I think his coming out party was honestly against Philadelphia Eagles this year, him playing so well. But the Dallas Cowboys want to run the ball, and that's exactly what they did to the Eagles. They ran the ball. And when they're able to run the football, they can pretty much do whatever they want to, because they open up their – and that's with any team. I mean, if you're able to run the ball, if you're able to run – set up the pass – you basically are opening up your playbook. And the Eagles have been known over the years, if they didn't do anything else, they stopped the run. And it's just disheartening to see that they couldn't stop anything. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. They couldn't stop a runny nose. Forget a nosebleed. They couldn't stop a runny nose. And I'm talking about offenses getting 6, 7, 10 yards a pop. It's disheartening. Like, the defense is not getting off of the field. That's disheartening. And this defense has to be better. Now, I won't get into the schematical changes that Jonathan Gannon needs to make. They just got to be better. The run has to be stopped. They have to start making teams. Like, they looked good in the first game when they were able to make Atlanta one-dimensional. But they have to start really making teams one-dimensional. Like, okay, you might be able to throw the ball, but you're not running the ball on us. You're not running the ball on us. They have to get that kind of mentality. And the defensive line is too good to be getting gashed that way. That's how I feel about the Eagles. Like, I don't think Fletcher Cox has lost a step. I don't think Fletcher Cox is getting old, like people are saying. And I know BG being gone, there is a certain level of, like, you're missing him. You're missing his leadership, and you're missing his playmaking ability on the field, his abilities at the edge, and really, really kind of stuff the run. But somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to be better than this. And I get it. Eagles linebackers suck. I understand that as well. But you can't be getting gashed for 6-7 yards to pop. Because honestly, if people are running the ball on you that effectively, they're not going to do anything else. They don't have to do anything else but run the football. They got to be better at that, you know, from that standpoint. Defense being that terrible, that has to stop. And it should stop this week, starting with the Carolina Panthers. But we'll get into that. Third reason, just couldn't stop Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes. I know, like, you know, this season he's turned the ball over a little bit. But Mahomes is going to be Mahomes. And Mahomes and Tyreek Hill is still nasty. It's still nasty. That's a nasty connection. And they're always going to be nasty. So, someone said it. I can't remember who it was. An analyst. But they said, Tyreek Hill has the same deep threat ability as DeSean Jackson. But he has that ability in the mid-range game as well. The same kind of big playmaking ability like DeSean Jackson has, like going deep and taking the top off of the defense. He does the same thing in the middle of the field. Not only deep, but in the middle of the field as well. And I think that's actually accurate. And I really, really commend the person who said it, because it's true. He really does this in space in the middle of the field all the time. I've only seen like once or twice where he's been shut down. That dude is really, really good. And I'm not even saying he's like the best catcher, but he's really good. And I respect that. So they couldn't stop Mahomes. They couldn't stop Tyreek Hill. And I mean, who really can stop that offense, honestly? It's really tough to stop them. It really is. So my hat's off to Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs. And shout out to Andy Reid for getting his 100th win with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, he's got 100 wins with two teams. No other coach has done that in the league. And if you can't, listen, I know there are some people that still don't forgive Andy Reid for what happened here, how things ended here. I got to respect the man. Come on. That man is, he did a lot for this city. He did a lot of winning here. He turned his franchise around. Honestly, he made the Eagles into a winner. We were losers before Andy Reid. We may have not gotten the Super Bowls under Andy Reid like we should have, or like you thought we should have. But he made this team into a winner. And you got to love Andy Reid for that. I love Big Red forever. And I'm so glad he finally got his championship. I'm so glad he's enjoying his success. He got 100 wins with two different teams in the NFL. The only reason he won't be solidified as the GOAT is because Bill Belichick has more rings than him. He has 6. That's the only reason. That's the only reason in my eyes. He doesn't have the amount of championships. And if he can get 2 or 3 more with Mahomes and Hill and all those guys and Kelsey, we might be talking. It might be a different story. This kind of ties into penalties, but you had 3 touchdowns that were called back. 3. So that means 21 points was taken off of the board. Technically 18, but 21 points was taken off of the board because of penalties that were committed. J.R. Arcega-Whiteside with the pick play. I think there was another like illegal shift. But like, and then Devontae Smith stepping out of bounds. Like, it's just the little things. Like, this guy, Sirianni, and I'm going to get into him in a second because he's actually the fifth reason and the most important reason why the Eagles lost. This guy, Sirianni, talks about the details and the little things, but the Eagles don't do the little things. They don't pay attention to the details. They overlook the details. They're bad at details. That's why they lose games. And listen, it's not that they're not supposed to lose games this year. I understand rebuilding. I understand being a young team. I understand all of that. I really do. I'm not even upset so much that the Eagles are 1-3. I'm really not upset at that. But I do want the team to be disciplined. I do want them to be detail-oriented. They have to be better on defense. They have to do the little things. They have to learn from their mistakes. That's what I expect. And if you lose, then you lose because you're just not a better team than other teams. But at least you're doing the small things right. Those things can be handed down. They can transition from year to year to year. That's what will keep Sirianni around. But right now, they don't do the small things right. And that's coaching. That leads to my most important reason why the Eagles lost. There are so many coaching errors and mistakes and just, you know, inept moments in the game from a coaching standpoint where the Eagles are going to lose every week because of that. Like, my biggest fears of Sirianni being like this, him being out coached every week, are starting to come true. Like, the details, being a disciplined team, doing the small things right, those are all things that coaches do. Like, they coaches coach you up on that. Those are all practices of a disciplined and a well-coached team. And they're not well-coached at this moment. This was the same issue I had with Doug. Like, committing so many penalties and being so undisciplined, that speaks directly to coaching. It's not players. I can't necessarily blame players for... Let me retract a little bit. I can blame players for being undisciplined. Yes. Derek Barnett is a very undisciplined player. That's just what it is. And he's got a reputation. Even when he does things that are not wrong, he's still in the wrong because he has a reputation of being undisciplined. It's like the Rasheed Wallace effect. And I love Rasheed Wallace. It's the Rasheed Wallace effect, though, because, you know, he got so many technicals over the years where it's like he did the smallest thing. As soon as he did it, bam, technical. They didn't even give him a chance. And it's like the same thing with Derek Barnett. It's the same thing. They're not even giving him a chance because he's been so undisciplined over the years. He has a reputation now. But even with that reputation, you can't have everybody being undisciplined. This speaks to coaching. Being undisciplined and not really not being well coached, not paying attention to the details, that is a direct correlation to coaching. And they're not well coached. And that was a big issue. That was probably about half of my reasoning why the Eagles lost, like as far as from a coaching standpoint. Another reason, like inside the coaching, is the red zone offense, the red zone efficiency, the red zone execution. Horrible. Horrible. Like, you play in the Kansas City Chiefs. You cannot trade 3 for 7. You can't trade field goals for touchdowns. That doesn't work. You have to score touchdowns. And listen, I understand the line was a makeshift line on Sunday. I understand that they were shorthanded. I understand that, you know, he had plays that may work as far as in the passing game. But the team doesn't do the small things right. So, like, doing, like, a pick play in the red zone and it getting called back, I expect that because they don't pay attention to details anyway. Execute and do the small things right. Like, all he had to do, honestly, just run the football. Like, I hate saying that, but it's very simple. Linemen like to push. They don't like pass blocking all the time. They like to push. They like to maul people. They love getting momentum and just mauling over people. You have to win in the trenches in order to be a good football team, I think. And they didn't even have the opportunity to do that. They haven't had the opportunity to run the ball. And they're failing because of it. So calling these stupid plays in the end zone where you're getting a yard, 2 yards, 5 yard loss, incompletions. Like, I expect that because they don't do the small things right. But all they have to do, honestly, is just run the football. If they establish more of a run game, they wouldn't have to worry about these things in the end zone, in the red zone, excuse me. Because one, even if you can't run the ball in the red zone, you'll be able to catch them off guard with these small trick, short little passing plays that are quote unquote extensions of the run game. But they don't run the football. It's a correlation, like it directly correlates to, like, it's like kind of like a domino effect, I would say. Not being out on the football, not doing the small thing right, leads to this, like, a comedy of errors. And it all comes back to coaching. And this guy Sirianni, like I said before, like, he is getting out-coached in every game that he's playing. Listen, I understand that the game plan may have been right as far as keeping Kelce in check. But that's all they did right was keep Kelce in check. Oh, and they put up some yards on offense. But it's not enough. It's not enough. You're getting out-coached. For everything you do right, you do 2 to 3 things that are wrong. And this was my issue with him. I said he was going to get out-coached. Now, listen, I expect him to get out-coached by Andy Reid. I do. Andy Reid, he's like a GOAT coach. I understand that. He's one of the greats. But a lot of this stuff is like self-inflicted, shooting your own self in the foot. So the team is actually reflecting their coach. They shoot themselves in the foot because the coach shoots himself in the foot. It's just they're following their leader. So how can I expect the Eagles to do anything right? The leader's not doing anything right. They got a long way to go, y'all. It's going to be a long season, but I would encourage people to do this. Look for the small things in the game that they do right. Look for small little pockets of encouragement within the game, not just wins and losses. I just don't think that we can do that right now. So, like, once again, they lost 42-30. I expected them to lose that game. I think what bothers people so much, though, is because sometimes in these games, they're actually in the game. Like, at halftime, it wasn't that much of a huge lead. But it's just, you can't trade field goals for touchdowns. You just can't do it. Can't do it. And you got to do the small things right. So I would say right now, the biggest thing they need to do right, and this is going into, you know, the next game or the rest of the season, but they got to start correcting the details, the small things. They got to start doing that. Sirianni has to establish the run. It doesn't matter that you're only getting 1 yard, 2 yards a pop. Establish the run game. You cannot be afraid to, well, I guess you could be afraid to punt because your defense sucks and they're not stopping anybody, but you can't be afraid to run the football. You have to run the football. You have to. You got to give your line a chance, your running back a chance, your offense a chance to establish the run. You have to. And it sucks because he doesn't have, I feel like there's not enough of a veteran presence here to actually let Sirianni know this stuff. He's young too. He's still growing on the job too. But this was my issue with him. I said that he was going to get outcoached. And he's gotten outcoached. He's gotten outcoached in every game except one. And it's unfortunate. But like I said, I encourage everybody to look for the small things in these games that the Eagles do right. Not so much the wins and losses. They got Carolina this week. Carolina is a good team. They just recently lost to Dallas, though. But Sam Darnold has played well this year. He actually leads the league as far as rushing touchdowns for a quarterback with 5. Interesting stat I heard today. Darnold is not like a – he's not an elite QB, but he's getting the job done. And I get it. They played a better team last weekend. Listen. All right, let me just say this real fast because I got to get it out because I'm going to go back to hating them in a second. Dallas looks good. They look good. And their offense is clicking. They've played 2 home games. Now, granted, they played 2 home games, and their offense has been clicking in those 2 home games. They've cleaned up some mistakes that they've made. In the 2 road games they had at the beginning of the year. And their defense is actually taking the ball away from people. And they've been doing that all year. So I give them credit where credit is due. They look good. But they can make some noise. Eventually they will screw it up. But right now they are doing well. And I give them their credit. You know, I can't even say that they're not that good because they are. They are pretty good. They look pretty good. I still think there are teams better than Dallas. I think there are, as far as the NFC, I'll say, I named 7 teams, but I'll say a good 5 teams are better than Dallas in the NFC. And then the AFC, I don't even know how many, but there are plenty of teams in the AFC that are better than Dallas. But Dallas is good. They can compete with anybody, I will say that. But I ain't giving Dallas no more love after that. Anyway, Carolina lost to Dallas. Takeaways killed them. Not having Christian McCaffrey killed them. They're playing at home this week where they're a lot better. So I expect them to actually come out and have a better effort this year, this weekend. And they probably will. I mean, Eagles don't take the ball away from anybody. So you can't even bank on the Eagles getting 1 or 2 turnovers in the game. But I think they have a chance. The Eagles have a chance to compete in the game. I do. Not because of defense, but because of their offense. I think the Eagles have a, you know, besides the mistakes, which are you can't even just glare over that. Like it's really, really an issue. They have good offensive philosophies. I'll say that. As far as like the short passing game. Screen game, which is actually one of the things that works for them, the screen game. Any RPO for what it's worth, using the tight ends and all that works for them. That really does work for the Eagles. But if they establish a run, they'll be more efficient. They can just establish a run. But anyway, they have a chance to compete. They have some speed on the team. They got two good tight ends. I really feel they can compete. Will they compete? I don't know because Carolina's defense is pretty good. And they just got Stephon Gilmore today. They just traded for him today, which is major. Patriots were going to cut him. Right before the deadline, they were able to trade for Stephon Gilmore. The Panthers were, I think, like a couple like late round picks. You know, it's just kind of like a steal for them. They got to pay Gilmore, but at the same time, hey, it's a steal for them. So I think the Eagles will, they can compete. I don't know if they will compete, but they can compete. I will say, if I had to say right now, because I'm not going to do a prediction show or not like that, I will say, yes, they will compete. I think a lot of the issues that they had as far as offense during the San Fran week and part of the Dallas week, I think a lot of those issues have been worked out. But they still do small things wrong. And that's what leads to them being inept. The defense for Carolina is a lot better than the last two defenses the Eagles have faced. The last three defenses the Eagles have faced. Actually, that's probably going to be the best defense the Eagles have played all year long. They're going to have to run the football. That's all I can say. You got to run the football this week. You have to. You got to establish a run this week. You have to. Even if it doesn't look good, you're doing something right. You're trying to establish a principle in the game. I'm going to keep running the ball. It don't matter how many times you stop me. Establish the run. Take what the defense gives you. Carolina's a young defense. They're nasty. They're fast. And that probably has been the reason they've been able to win games this year. But they also just got gashed by Dallas for like 200 yards. So, yeah, and I know Zeke is getting back, but look, you're getting gashed in the run game. You're just getting gashed. So the Eagles need to. Now I know Carolina's going to make their adjustments as well. Because I know they had a tough week as far as like, hey, we can't be getting gashed that way. But, and they got good coaching down there. A coach that pays attention to the small things. Even when they were rebuilding and losing, still was well coached. They still were well coached. And I ain't just saying that because he was the coach of the Temple. Matt Rule's just a good coach. He knows what he's doing. And I've been confident in him. So, I will say the Eagles will lose again this week, but they will compete. They should be better this week. But I look to see if they can clean up the small things. I just want it to be a week where the Eagles lose because they were just a worse team. Like, when they lost to San Fran, I felt like they just weren't good enough to beat San Fran. Yeah, did they fold a little bit? I think so. That's just kind of like a young team folding. But I think that overall, they just weren't good enough to beat San Fran. But they had a chance to. And I just want them to be in games like that. I want them to have chances to win. Even if they don't win, if you can put yourself in a position like, hey, I got a chance. And you mess up because you're just not a good enough team, then you just mess up. And I won't be mad at that. But I will be mad at you committing 25 penalties a game. And I will be mad that you don't run the football. I will be mad at that stuff. And I will be mad at coaching errors and coaching mistakes and inept coaching. I will be upset at that. Yes. But if you can put everything out there, you line up my 11 against your 11, and my 11 just wasn't good enough to beat your 11, then you take that loss. I just wasn't good enough. That's just, hey, I got to get better. But you can't shoot yourself in the foot. Shooting yourself in the foot and causing your own self to lose is a problem to me. And that's where I think the Eagles need to be better. But I say Carolina wins this week, I'll say something like 26-20. Because the Eagles can put up some points. And Jalen can actually put up some yards. And let me say this about Jalen Hurts. I was a Carson Wentz fan. I believed in Carson. I still actually think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback once he works out his issues and gets out of his own head. I liked Carson, and I believed in him. And even when he made stupid mistakes, I took it because that's just who he was. He made mistakes, and he did. He had issues. Excuse me. And sometimes he turned the ball over. But you know what? He always fought. He kept fighting. And I overlooked a lot of things because he just fought. Carson, I never felt like I was out of a game. Until last year, I never felt like I was out of a game with Carson Wentz. He was going to keep us in the game. It didn't matter what happened. And people extended a certain level of grace to Carson Wentz. People got mad at him. There were a lot of people that got mad at him. But there were people, I guess, like the middle of the road and the supporters that extended grace to Carson Wentz. And I feel like Jalen Hurts doesn't get the same grace. This is only going to be his 9th NFL start this upcoming Sunday. He's essentially still a rookie. And he makes mistakes. And people don't extend that grace to him because I guess their expectations for the team and their expectations for a quarterback because we just lost the person that's supposed to be the franchise. And for whatever reasons, they don't extend the same level of grace to Jalen Hurts as they did to Carson. And I don't want to make it a Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz thing. I don't want to make it a black-white thing. I don't. But that's really what I see. I do see, like, certain fans not extending grace to Jalen, and maybe it is because he's black. I don't want it to be that way, but maybe it is because he is a black quarterback. And, you know, I don't like it. One of my favorite people on the radio, I won't say his name, but like, I remember him saying last week something like, he's a horrible quarterback. Horrible. And I'm just like, he ain't that bad. Like, he ain't that bad. He's a rook. Like, essentially, that's what he is. He's a rookie. I think he'll be much better next year. Like, going through a full season of being the Eagles quarterback, understanding game situations and game, you know, if this happens, then this needs to happen. I think he'll be better. Like, you get better through experience. You cannot just say he's horrible. Like, okay, he may not have the arm strength that Carson has or that Mahomes has or whoever. Whatever big gun, big arm quarterback you want to name. He may not have the arm strength, but you know who didn't have arm strength? Drew Brees. Russ got some strength. But Russ still don't got the gun like other quarterbacks. Like, he didn't have the Peyton Manning kind of gun. Tom Brady's older. Tom Brady don't have the gun like he used to have. Tom Brady's just accurate as I don't know what. He's accurate as all get out. Yeah, Rodgers, like, he's, you know, Rodgers got a gun and he's accurate. I'd rather for Jalen Hurts to be accurate and have this big gun on him. Because I think you can win. I think you can win without him being a big arm quarterback. But the demolishing of him, I hear. And I know there are people out there, like, there's someone on the radio, like, the same show today came out and said, I think there are people that are being very patient with Jalen Hurts. Yeah, but you guys aren't. And you have a voice in the city. You guys are not being patient with him. You guys are not extending grace with him. And that bothers me. Because he didn't do anything to warrant that. He didn't ask to be drafted by the Eagles when they already had a franchise quarterback. He didn't ask to be put in a situation where they were calling for his name all last year because Carson was sucking. He didn't ask for any of that. He's just been dealing with what he's been given. And I love his mentality and the way he approaches the game. And he said something so key. Like, he talked about on Sunday how, you know, they mentioned, like, his stats. He was like, look, we lost. We lost the game. And he talked about how they're not a finished product, but they're close. and he's knowing like what he needs to do in order to get better. And I like that. I respect that. I want that. And I think that's what makes him, you know, eventually that's what make him a franchise quarterback. And I think the Eagles will make a mistake if they let go of him and they try to draft someone. Unless he proves to be extremely horrible for the rest of the year, they're making a mistake, I would think. But listen, I ain't going to think too much far in the future. That's like for another day. I just think that people are just, they don't extend the grace. And it's just a certain people. I don't even want to judge or anything, but it's certain fans. It's a certain type of fan that I know and I hear a lot of, and I understand them, but they don't extend the same grace to Jalen as they would extend to anybody else. And it bothers me because he doesn't deserve it. This is a rebuilding year. Let them rebuild. Let everybody rebuild. Let them all grow. Let them all learn. You as the fan have to go through the growing pains. It just is what it is, and it will be what it will be. And I am sorry that it's like that, but that's how it will be. The growing pains. Yes, it will hurt. Yes, you will be impatient. Yes, you will be pissed because the Eagles lost a game that they should have won. And yes, you will be happy that the Eagles won a game that they probably should have lost. Off my soapbox, but fans need to be more gracious. That's all I'll say. Real quick, Sixers preseason started. Flyers are in preseason as well. Sixers lost their first preseason game against the Raptors. They will be playing another preseason game tomorrow against the Raptors, but they will be playing in Philly this time. Last game, Joel Embiid did not play. Tobias Harris did not play. So I don't know what to expect in the preseason. I know that there is so much turmoil and chaos right now within the organization until Ben Simmons is moved. I don't know how things will turn out. And now he's coming out saying like he's starting to feel that the financial impact. You think you didn't report to camp? You didn't play in a game that you were eligible to play in? You're not even here in the city? You didn't think you'd feel the impact? Oh, because they ain't paying you that $8.25 million? Yeah, you didn't think you? Yeah. Nah, we're not paying you. You're not here. You did not report to work. If you do not work, you do not get paid. That's how it works in the real world. If I don't sign into my computer for work tomorrow, I will not be paid. Unless you got sick time, but whatever. Like, you're not sick, so you're not being paid. You just didn't report. You're essentially what we call in the real world a no-call, no-show. And it's disrespectful to like people, real working people, that you can just sit out there and think you're going to be paid for not showing up. I'm off the Benson support. I don't even want to get on Benson. All I'm saying is that Sixers are in preseason right now. They play another preseason game tomorrow. We'll see how things go. Flyers are also in preseason. They lost their last preseason game 3-0 to the Islanders. But they won previously against the Bruins. So I know the season is actually about to start. I don't know exactly the date. I think it might be a week before the Sixers start. Sixers start later on this month. So we're right back in the swing of things when it comes to our sports. Phillies wrapped up their season. They finished above 500 at 82-80. We got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of work to do. Dombrowski came out, said some stuff today. The key thing I would say that he said is that they're not going to do the popular thing. I don't know exactly what that means, but they're not going to do the popular thing, whatever that means. So stay tuned for what the Phillies do. I'll say this one last thing and I'll sign off. Big being in sports hell sucks. But being a Philadelphia sports fan, I ain't gonna say it really sucks, but it's really, really hard. Because it's like being in a sports hell and never being able to get out of it. Like, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and that was great. Awesome. You know, Phillies won the World Series. That was awesome. Those moments will live forever in my head. As long as God wills it. And I'll cherish them forever. Those teams, those moments, I'll cherish them forever. But yeah, being a Philadelphia sports fan is hard. You know why? You'll always be saying, oh, at least which call is about to start. So when the Phillies were playing and they lost Atlanta, I was like, oh, at least the Sixers are about to start. Eagles losing, oh, at least the Sixers are about to start. And when the Sixers eventually start losing, oh, at least the Phillies are about to come back. At least we got the Flyers. At least they're competing. But the thing is, the teams never get to that point we want them to get to. And that's hard. They don't achieve the way they should achieve, the way we want them to. We don't have any true contenders in the city. And that's what sucks. Our last contender that we had, it was last year with the Sixers. And it sucked because we knew where they were contenders. And they could compete with Milwaukee. And they could compete with Brooklyn. They could. And they fell short. They underachieved because they lost to an Atlanta Hawks team. And I hear this thing about Ben Simmons being scapegoated. Listen, man. All I'll say is this for national folks. I don't know what national person is going to hear, but listen, I'm going to put it out there. A national person is going to hear this podcast. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you got to say it to. This is family business. Don't speak on family business. You're not in this family. You don't know what goes on here. I said it before, and I'll say it again. You don't know what goes on here. You don't know what's going on in this city. I don't care who you know. You don't know about our teams here. You don't know what we've been dealing with for years and years and years on top of years. You don't understand. You don't know. You're not qualified to speak on family business. Stay out of our business. You don't know. You're speaking on things you have no knowledge of. And that's what bothers me. Like, people taking Ben Simmons' side saying he got scapegoated. Listen, bro, you don't even know stuff we dealt with Ben Simmons. And I supported Ben Simmons, and I still dealt with the stuff. You don't even know what we dealt with over the years. You don't know. I know he's a good player. I ain't taking nothing away from him as far as being a player. I understand him being a good player. But you don't know what we've dealt with this entire team. You think we didn't blame Joel Embiid for things? Shoot, we blamed Brett Brown for 2 years before he got fired. You don't even know what we've been dealing with here. You don't know. You're not qualified to speak on these things. You don't know enough information. That's how I feel. It's not that you're not qualified, because that's a little bit harsh. When I say qualified, I mean like you don't know enough information. You don't know. You don't know enough. Yeah, you may know the league, but you don't know enough from our standpoint, what we've dealt with. You don't know enough. You can't talk on this. This is family business. We don't understand it. No, it doesn't logically make sense. It won't logically make sense. It makes sense to us. The logic makes sense to us, but it's because it's this family. So don't be coming sticking your nose in family business. You don't know. Ben Simmons ain't got scapegoated. I'm sorry. He did not get scapegoated. He caused something. He did something wrong. and he's paying for it. He's suffering the consequences for it. Suffer. Get better. Be better. You need to lose first in order to win. All he had to do was humble himself, and he didn't do it. I said I was off the Ben Simmons soapbox. I'm stopping. Every time I try to stop talking about him, every time I try to stop, he pulls me right back in. I'll be on this podcast for another 15 minutes if I keep talking about him, so I'm going to stop here. Appreciate you guys for listening. I love you guys. I really do. I promise y'all, I'm trying to get the mask. I'm trying to get the hats. Ah, man, time just escapes me. I'm sorry, but I'm working on it, y'all. I'm working on it, all right? This is episode 70. It's available on Apple, Spotify. Google it. Please push it. Please share it. Please follow on social media at 444 Podcast, F-O-U-R-F-O-R, the number 4 Podcast. On TikTok at F-O-U-R-F-O-R, number 4 Pod, F-P-O-D. All right? Follow me on all social networks. Subscribe to the podcast, and most importantly, share it. Share it. Listen to it and share it. Listen and share it. Listen and share it. Listen and share it, please. I appreciate you guys. I love feedback. I love talking this stuff. I talk about it all day. I'll stop working just to talk about the stuff. Trust me. I appreciate you guys for listening. Go Sixers. Go Birds. Go Flyers. Bring that bell. Go Phillies. All right? Dom Lewis signing off. Until next time. Peace.